You're listening to Unique Leaders Podcast. I'm Megan DiMartino. Success is in the story. Each week, I'll be speaking with a unique leader, not only in their field, but in their lives. Join us for a glimpse of their passion and talents. There's always a surprise in their story. Be the first to hear. Hello, 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 and welcome to Unique Leaders Live. I'm Megan DiMartino, and I am so thrilled that you're here with me today. I have a very special guest, and I know that her story will resonate with many. There are so many pieces to this story. The story is fruitful of hope and possibilities, inspiration, and continuing on. Today, we have Miss Amy Mills with us. And Amy is a gal that I have known over the years here in the Austin, Texas area, but then did not stay in touch as my life changed. And we have circled back, and she is now an author of an amazing book that will, again, give tremendous insight and inspiration to so many. So without further ado, I'd like to bring Amy on, but before I do that, I do want to share that why I'm doing Unique Leaders Live. Unique Leaders is about them. It's all about our guest. And everyone is unique and everyone is a leader. And we all have a story. And the success is in the story. And I say success with quotation marks around it because it's not about a benchmark. It's not about seeing that number on the bottom of the page, so to speak. It's about attaining your goals and your dreams. And what we all want to do, and I include we with my guests, what we want to do with Unique Leaders is to share that we're all unique and we all have a story. And in that story is our journey. And our journey is never over. And we're continuing to climb with that. And so with that, I just wanted to share that this is a very important piece to Unique Leaders Live because we all want to share with you and give you encouragement to continue on, to build, to begin, but to continue on. So without further ado, I'd like to bring my guest on, Miss Amy Mills. Hello, Amy.
Hello. Well, I love listening to that intro. It's so good. The success is in the story. Really true.
It truly is. Mm-hmm. And you and I have been plugging away for many years at our goals, dreams, and aspirations.
Yes.
But life does happen, and life does sometimes challenge those goals and dreams. Yes. They also spur them on to different directions.
Yeah.
But it's in the story.
Yeah.
So let's start from the beginning. So you're a Texas girl.
I am a Texas girl, born and raised. I was born in San Angelo, Texas, and moved the next day after birth to Stephenville, Texas, a very small town outside of Fort Worth. It's gotten a lot bigger since I left, since I was born. But at that time, Tarleton wasn't even a university. It was Tarleton College that was there in Stephenville. So I love that I grew up in a small town because then I was able to move with my career to Austin, which, you know, I call that a big town compared to where I came from. And I love having that dynamic of being to, you know, just being able to talk to all walks of life, having that small town mentality, but then also, you know, being in the city, working downtown Austin for so many years in sales and marketing, and then having the ability to work with professionals. So it's been a fun journey to be able to relate to all walks of life because of where I grew up.
So let's go back to that though. Let's go back to that period of time when you were growing up in Stephenville. Mm-hmm. I lived in Fort Worth, by the way, for 17 years.
Oh!
When I moved from New York to Fort Worth in 1987. Yes, so this New York girl there in 1987. So I remember now, not Tarleton College, but meaning back in the day when that whole area was just beginning.
Oh, completely. Yeah. I mean, it was really a small town when I, you know, I left Stephenville in 84 and, you know, never moved back. I moved straight to Austin and have been in this area since 84.
Oh, so long time.
Yeah. So I call it my adult home. You know, I moved away. I moved here from home and then kind of grew up here, I feel like, as an adult.
So when you were a young gal, you know, in the, you know, young years, mm-hmm. the time that you left home, so to speak, to venture forth, kind of a Mary Tyler Moore moment, you know, when you were a young gal, did you know what you wanted to do? Did you have dreams? Did you think of that you would be doing what you're doing today? Tell us a little bit about young Amy.
Young Amy was full of life and movement. I was that ever moving child, you know, the one on the bicycle, the one running track, the one that you couldn't find at night because I had ridden my bike off to the grocery store. I was roller skating in the neighborhood, just super active always. So God bless my mother, who has passed many years ago, but she just, you know, had a challenge to funnel all of that energy that I had, and she did a really good job at it. She just really loved me unconditionally embraced all of my deficits as well as those things that I know she saw in me that I would be able to use. I mean, honestly, that DNA is the DNA that got me through some of, you know, my trials. But living in a small town, I mean, I was a cheerleader. I was in the drill team. I played basketball. I mean, I'm telling you, I was active. And I was athletic and just loved anything that had energy, anything that was exciting.
And so when you went to Austin in 1984, when you moved as a young gal, did you go for school? Did you mm-hmm. just decide to pick up and go? And it's sort of like, you know, the East Coast gals would pick up and go to New York City. I mean, so did you?
Well, and the funny story is that Stephenville is known as cowboy country. At one point, it had produced more champion rodeo cowboys than any other county in the nation. And so, I mean, Tarleton was known for, you know, a rural cowboy kind of school. Well, I was a rock and roller, okay? I was the rebel rock and roller, so I wanted out of there as fast as I could get out of there. So I didn't really know what I was going to do. I wanted to be an actress. That's what I always wanted to do. And my mother was like, no, you're not going to do that. Those people go, you know, and at that time in Hollywood, things were happening that were not good. I mean, you know, this is the days of Marilyn Monroe dying and, you know, all these crazy things were happening and these, you know, they're doing drugs and they're dying. And she just knew the lifestyle would be horrible. And so she really deterred me from that. But I wanted to go to California and I wanted to be an actress. That's what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So probably my mom saved me from potentially something really, really bad because I got into drugs and alcohol before I left home. And unfortunately, I left home a broken young woman, you know, setting off to create my world, my life. And because of things that were done to me and things that I had done myself, there was just a broken soul there before I even left home at 18 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, it's back in the day, and I think, I mean, you're younger than I am, but it was such a time of experimentation. Mm-hmm. And it was a time when, you know, it was before relativism, but your mindset, but it was a time where, you know, it was very, like you said, about social and being and doing, and it wasn't really recognized, or you didn't recognize that this was taking down a road of really challenge. But I do understand, and I do relate for sure. And so many, and again, Amy, thank you for being so transparent, because that is so many young ladies and men, mm-hmm. And middle-aged ladies and men, meaning we all struggle with different things. And it's and it is not just one and done. It can mm-hmm. continue on.
And right. And, you know, when everybody stopped partying, I didn't. You know, when the fun was over, for me, it had become more addictive. It had become something I needed to try and, I guess, numb. I don't really know how to describe it, but I certainly was doing it from a broken place. I can tell you that much. Mm-hmm. Do I feel like I was numbing something? Or I'm not sure, but I was doing it out of a broken place. And when I started really young, I was doing it out of a broken place and out of rebellion and out of fun, right? I mean, I was just ridiculously adventurous. And if it, you know, let's go for it. Let's try it. Let's do it. You know, it's kind of the way I looked at all of that. But unfortunately, when the party ended, my on and off battle with drugs and alcohol went on for about 15 years on and off. And it was something that I finally, you know, my rock bottom, I chose what it was and I definitely hit rock bottom.
And so in Austin, and one thing I do want to share, I really do believe in speaking, not just with this show, you know, since we started Unique Leaders, but over the years, that people that are, you know, high energy and are, I don't want to use the word driven, but are motivated to do things, have a higher propensity for, you know, it's the adrenals, you know, pushing yourself and you're, and also part of that too, is then bringing it down, you know, with alcohol, certainly, you know. And so it's a very complex thing. It truly is a complex thing. But as you're saying, it becomes a habit. And that is the challenge. So when you got to Austin and you're a high-powered gal, you're a motivated person.
Yeah.
And a very dynamic person. So you entered the business world. And what was your first job and what led that to the next?
Yeah. So I went to Southwest Texas State University at the time. So Texas State University is where I went to school. So I was there for 4 years. And I, you know, all of the activities that I had been involved in and all the things that I had done in high school, I was ready. When I got to college, I had a lot of that. It wasn't out of my system, but I had done a lot of that. I didn't want to do it in college. I wanted to get in college. I wanted to get my degree and I wanted to go to work. I mean, I was motivated to make money. That's what I wanted to do. And so I focused in college. I wasn't involved in anything. I didn't do sorority. I felt like I had been in a sorority for 4 years already with cheerleading and drill team. And I didn't want anybody to tell me, you know, anymore how to walk, what to wear, all that kind of stuff. And so I didn't do sorority. And for that, I certainly lost out on relationships that I see some people have through their, you know, from college. They come out with really amazing relationships because of some of the activities. Not me. I just got in there, was driven, got out in 4 years, and I wanted to start working. And I got a journalism degree is what my primary degree was. And I got a minor in business administration. And I left school thinking I wanted to do public relations out of the journalism school. And so I headed out for a public relations job and it didn't go as I planned. It was very, I couldn't break into the system. I didn't do any internships. I didn't really have any experience in that specialty. And so I took a job in the hospitality industry in the sales and marketing department at a hotel and learned that industry, worked my way up very fast and became a sales manager for hotels for many years, for about, I think, 9 years. And then when I realized that I was going to have to probably move far away to a luxury resort to go higher than I was, that didn't interest me. And so at that time, I talked to some people that were in the radio business. And I just thought that sounded so fascinating. My favorite station in Austin at the time was the rock station, KLBJ. So I wanted to make more money. I wanted to, right, I kind of had hit a ceiling in the hospitality industry and I knew I could blow that up in the radio world. And so indeed I interviewed and I got the job with the station that I wanted and I worked my way through media in the sales department before I was ever actually on the radio. And I loved it. And I actually got promoted there to business development director, which I was managing the salespeople of all five stations to try and do some out of the box marketing. I kind of write a funny story about it. in my book because it was a new way of selling that they were trying to implement to all five stations. And the salespeople, they're like, we are making our money. We're doing great. We have our clients. We don't want to learn anything new. They were so resistant. And, you know, there was a lot of success and money behind those programs, but they took work. But I loved them because I was able to be creative and they were more successful and I gravitated to them and I had giant success. Anyway, so the story goes, you know, that it was perspective, you know, the perspective they had about this new department. Even though it was gold in the end, they just couldn't get a perspective change on selling differently.
Interesting. Interesting. I had the same experience at Alcon in Fort Worth.
Mm.
I really didn't set out to start or say I was going to do my own skincare brand. I just knew I needed and wanted to create.
Yeah.
I had been in national sales and marketing in the beauty industry for another company before taking that position. And so we were working on, it's a long story, but the bottom line is I did a whole storyboard on a skincare line attached to the hair care line based on hyaluronic acid, which is the tour de force today.
Yeah.
Whole other story. But my boss actually said, Amy, this is in 1990, skincare doesn't sell.
Wow.
And I was like,
woo.
I don't know if I can stay here that long.
But, yeah.
You know, but I did have a daughter in college, so I didn't quit my job.
Yeah.
But I knew that was such a short
perspective, right? Perspective.
And years later, the gentleman called me and said, would you like to do something together? I said, no, I don't think so. You know, because I was off on my
You think way, way you know? Too small, buddy.
Right. Perspective. That's a chapter. Perspective.
It is. It is. Yeah. Whole chapter on perspective. It's huge.
Mm-hmm. So then from there, then you mentioned earlier you got on air.
I did, and I didn't get on air until I launched a 501c3 ministry. After radio, I went on to I created my own business. Really, it was a marketing company in business development, and so I left the radio station to do my own thing. And I have such an entrepreneurial spirit, which kind of almost goes along with that. High energy driven, you know, wants the next thing and is always, you know, I'm a personal development freak and always looking for, you know, the next thing. And in my book, I talk so much about that next level life and my tribe, they are next level lifers. You know, they're people that are looking for that next level. And so that's what I did. And I then from there helped my husband launch a custom home building company. So I was kind of doing, just really filling that place inside of me to build and create.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to, we can talk about the tumor or we can come back to that.
So what I was going to say, so that led, you know, you were building and creating. And that, again, back to everything we've said or you have shared so far, is about that foundation of giving you understanding. And if you'd like to spend a minute of now or later, but about, because you mentioned, you touched on your ministry.
Yeah.
And so if you'd like to speak to your faith mm-hmm. and how that plays into mm-hmm. even before your physical challenge.
That's huge. I do, because it's so critical. So I was very good at, I became a master at making everything on the outside look fantastic. But on the inside, as I have gone from high school to college to my career, I have this inside that is broken and that is wounded and that has just been tortured over the years, just trying to manage that and not knowing how to get freedom. I mean, I was bound in so many ways and I needed freedom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I was dying on the inside while everything to the world, you know, looked fantastic. I mean, I was making six figures. I was driving a fancy sports car. I was eating great sushi all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what, hey, she's living the high life. And really very few people knew what was going on inside of me. It was almost like a double life, Megan, right? I had this, you know, this life that was successful and exciting. And then I had this life that was just a real struggle on the inside. Mm-hmm. And so a long story short, I had a series of things that happened to me. And in that series was landing in the ER two times with alcohol poisoning. And that experience just brought me to my knees. It was so humiliating. It was so, for me, degrading. And it was my wake-up call to say, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And on the morning of my 30th birthday, I went out to run like I did at 6 a.m. every morning before work. And I stood in the middle of the street, and I had an amazing moment with God and with Jesus, that who is, the head of my faith, of my Christianity. And I had a spiritual revolution after that moment. And I made a deal with God, and I said, okay, I've wrecked the last 10 years of my life. I did it my way, and I have been headstrong. It's not working. It's a mess. And I'm broken. I'm going to give you the next 10 years, God, and whoever does the best job out of their 10 years gets the rest of my life. And so, you know, God is having a heyday with that deal.
Oh, yes.
And certainly he won. And I had a series of things that happened to me over the next really 24 months of my life that radically changed who I was. I was raised in the church, but I had never made him Lord of my life. And so when I did that, and when there was total surrender, it was that moment of surrender, all of it that I was trying to manage. And the Lord showed up, and through people and places and circumstances, my life got cleaned up and changed. And I've never looked back from that day on my 30th birthday. That's been a long time ago. And from that experience of freedom, being so bound and getting so much freedom, and don't get me wrong, I had to do a lot of hard things, and I had to work, and I had to partner with God, but he's faithful. And I created that 501c3 ministry to walk women out of any sort of oppression or bondage into freedom, so that they can go and live the extraordinary life that God has for them. And that, from then, it became the passion really of my life. And I've been doing a little bit of that ever since I created that ministry back in 2009.
Nine
is when that was created.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And thank you for sharing that, because again, it's in the story that is the freedom.
Yeah.
And it is in the understanding for not only you and I, but others that are listening and will continue to listen, because it is that surrender, what you said, Amy. It really is in that surrendering and saying, I need help.
Yeah.
And however that looks, whatever structure, you were in the middle of the street on your birthday talking to Jesus.
That's right.
But it's that surrender. It is that surrender to God.
It really is. And in all good stories, there is some sort of surrender. When we're trying to go, if you want to grow, something has to go. That's what I say. When you want to grow, something has to go. And so you have to have a moment of surrender. And that can be, you know, with your entire life to a spiritual transformation, or that can be to habits that need to go in your life, and you're surrendering to a new thing in your life, and then you can grow. But something has to go to grow.
It's a great, we'll put that in the text, because that's a great line, a great piece of your heart, because it's so true, though. Something has to go for you to grow. Amen. So that foundation, was set to prepare you for what was to come.
Yeah.
So share with our guests, you know, that next piece.
After that transformation, and after all the struggle that I had felt like I had gone through in my life up until that point, a lot of emotional bondage really is what, you know, led me to that point. And I'm free, right? I'm free. And I'm like, okay, we're over the hump. You know, life is going to be good. And don't we think that when we're younger, it's like, okay, I've got it. Let's go. And what happened was I began to have severe lower back pain. I thought I'd hurt my back running and just kind of kept pressing through. But what was discovered was a tumor inside the spinal cord. And I have to say that sometimes two times because people think a spine tumor, they think it's on your spine. No, it was inside the spinal cord and it ruptured. That tumor had to be taken out. And it was misdiagnosed for many years. I had been to Johns Hopkins twice. I had been to MD Anderson. This is a very rare condition. And it was misdiagnosed. It wasn't until they got inside of me that they found out that it was actually a tumor that had ruptured out. And the surgeon said it looked like a grenade had gone off inside the cord. So he worked on me for 5.5 hours trying to decipher what was cord and what was tumor to remove from my body. And when I woke up, I found the news. I found out the news that it was not what they expected and that he had to go deeper into my cord than he ever expected. My 2-day stay in the hospital and I think 2-hour surgery turned into 2 months in the hospital. 5.5-hour surgery, and I woke up as a paralytic.
So define the word paralytic.
I could not move from my breast down. I lost sensory, cold, hot, sharp, all through my trunk. I lost sensory down my left side. They knew they had lost complete sensory within the surgery. They have tools that tell them that. And he was millimeters away from me, from the machine saying I had lost all function. And so he stopped. He knew I was a young mother. My daughter had just turned 4 the week before my surgery. He knew that I was very athletic. He considered all those things. And so he stopped. And it was devastating. It was, devastating doesn't even really do it justice, no, right?
There really are no words for what you experience personally and, of course, your family. So you said the 2-hour surgery went to 5, the 2-day in the hospital turned into what the next step, 2 months.
Yeah, so I was in the hospital for 2 months. And as much as I wanted to go home, I wanted to stay, right? Because I wanted to get everything I could get out of that experience with that full-time care from sunup to sundown. Paralyzation is recovering from it is incredibly painful. And most people can't press through that pain. And certainly people that have experiences like that where they've got to physically rehab themselves and they have not had a health journey before, they're sunk.
Yeah.
They don't make it. They stay in a wheelchair. They stay immobile. They stay on a cane, whatever. I thank God to this day that I had the spiritual foundation, but I had the health foundation too, Megan. Amen. I had done the work. And so my body knew, like my body had intelligence to know like what to do. There was memory there. If I could just get the connection, look, when the spinal cord is the control tower to our entire body and something goes down in the cord, you lose communication. You lose the communication line. And so, you know, you don't just lose function. You lose bowels. You lose bladder. You can lose endocrine system. All of these things. And so I wasn't just battling for my mobility, right? I was battling to get all these systems, you know, functioning again. And by the grace of God, we did get them functioning. I mean, I've had a miraculous recovery. And for the audience, I'm a fully walking, functioning woman. It looks a bit like I limp or that I have a hurt knee when I'm really tired. I have a dropped foot a little bit. But I have rehabbed myself back, Megan. And people can't believe this, but over the past 12 years, I have taken myself through 1,100 therapy sessions. I've been in therapy every week. for 12 years.
So it has become a lifestyle, but it was that commitment to it. But as you're speaking, and I heard you on Lisa Copeland's show, and I've pondered this interview, and I knew enough, Amy, to know that of your life, of that, but I didn't know the details, but that commitment to that surrender.
Yeah.
I didn't know that piece, but I knew that had to have been there to give you that strength of courage and that grit to continue on.
Yeah, I mean, it gives me chills to hear you say it. My book is called Sold Out, S-O-U-L-E-D. My ministry was called Sold Out. The book was not supposed to be even called that, and that was a God moment. But Sold Out was my ministry, is my ministry name. And I talk about in the book that moment in the street with God is when I sold out. My mind, my will, my emotions, my soul purposed towards a life with God, a surrendered life to Christ. The second time I sold out in my life, that kind of decision, declaration, and dedication was in the ICU when I woke up and I heard the news. When I heard the nurses that wheeled me into the rehab hospital, I was on a gurney. They pushed me down the hallway, and upon our arrival, I heard them call me a para. Hearing those nurses call me a para sent me into an abyss that I have never known. And so I sold out in the ICU to this commitment, right? It was a soul commitment, regardless of the cost, that I was going to run and not just walk. I was professing to them, I am a runner. You're hoping I can walk. I want to run again. And that is what I've had my sights on for 12 years. I have not run yet. I am quite a ways away from that. But that moment of becoming sold out in the ICU has carried me literally for the past 12 years. And ironically, Megan, the coolest thing is that when I created the framework for my book and talked about decision and declaration and dedication, it dawned on me that that's exactly what you do when you surrender to a life of faith.
Amen.
You make a decision, you declare it, and then you dedicate yourself no matter the cost without seeing the future. This is where you're going. It was the coolest thing. And then I realized that those three things have moved me and can move anyone out of any form of paralysis. This is the beginning of the framework, the decision, the declaration, the dedication. So it's the coolest thing. Anyone can apply those principles.
So great. You know, you shared about the nurses speaking behind your back, so to speak. Excuse me. And para. I mean, words are so powerful. And again, you could have just taken that mantle on and owned that mantle. And you said, no, that is not who I am. That is not my image. And I am going to continue on. You also said about running, you know, kiddo, you are running. You are running. It may not be literal, but you are figuratively running. You're running your life. You're running this path. You are on this path. You are running to that, helping others. So, you know, I'm not saying you will never put your 90s.
Thank you for saying that. That's really good. That's good. And you're right. I am. It might not look like the running that I had planned for, but certainly I'm running my race.
You are.
Yes.
Amen. So you now, the book went live or on Amazon.
Yes.
About 2-3 weeks ago, right?
That's right. Really recently.
Yes. And so, again, repeat the title.
Yeah. Sold Out, S-O-U-L-E-D, Sold Out. And then there's a subtitle, Attain Your Next Level Life Despite Unexpected Outcomes. And based on my, many years, 30 years of living through traumatic, unexpected outcomes, I have come up with a formula, principles, truths that will help anybody walk out of the wheelchair that life has placed them in. This book is for people who are stuck, stumbling, needing encouragement just to get across their finish line. It's for people that feel completely paralyzed. It is my story, but I always wanted to teach what I have learned from all of these traumatic, experiences in my life, and how did I walk out of that, and how am I whole and flourishing and full of hope and all of those things that I mean, every single one of these things could have taken me down. I mean, I feel lucky that I'm not in a gutter somewhere, you know, with a drug overdose. I mean, that was a reality for me.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that could have happened easily. Mm-hmm. And so I love sharing these principles with anybody who is feeling like they want to go to their next level life. They have it in their sight. Mm-hmm. They just, you know, there's a roadblock.
You need the tools.
Yes. Yeah.
There's so many programs that are very uplifting and encouraging and great material. Mm-hmm. They don't have tools. They don't have the concrete tools to assist the individual. The visual that you just said about, you said about, again, the visual of a wheelchair, but that wheelchair is that bondage of whatever it is.
It is.
And to get out of that wheelchair. It's just so powerful.
So can I read something real quick? It's real short, but I think it's important. I met the most beautiful woman that is bound to a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. And we had a fantastic conversation. I have over the years met people that are still in their wheelchair. And I put a disclaimer in my book, and I want to read it. I think it's real important. I said, I'm certainly aware that there are individuals who will not walk out of their wheelchair. It has been my honor to meet a handful of such individuals. Many of these amazing individuals have figured out how to live their next level life far more wholly than have those of us with full mobility. The processes and truths in this book apply both to those who have use of their extremities as well as those who do not. Maximum mobility is an inside job, and it is available to all human beings. I continue to stand in awe of those who are bound to wheelchairs but are next level lifers anyway.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. I've just started doing the Operation Restored Warrior, and then I got a cold, and it went into my chest. So last about week and a half, I haven't been able to do my 2.2 miles, but there's such an epidemic of suicide. And that, and it, and not, and they don't have to have been, you know, an amputee, but it's that brokenness.
Yes.
I mean, you have such a calling to reach out to every facet, you know, of life. Mm. This sold out ministry you have put together, and your book is the launching pad to a course.
Yes.
Have put together, and you're launching it soon, correct?
Yeah. So what we've done, yesterday we launched the book course study, or the book study course, because it's more than a book study. There are principles in each chapter. What I did is I tell a story and then I give what I learned out of it. Tell the story, give what I learned out of it. That's kind of the rhythm of the book, because then I was like, yeah, my story is great, but how, you know, why do you care? Well, you care because here's what you can learn from it. And I know it works because it's road tested out of the trenches. And so that's kind of how the book is structured. So I created a mini course, if you will, to take people through the book and teach the principles. And then next year, a little ways into 2021, then I will launch a deep dive course that would anchor in the principles. And so the first study is to kind of get your headspace around it and start looking at a framework for your life and take some action steps for sure. And people are going to get a lot of freedom from just reading the book. Mm-hmm. But then that deep dive course is to really start doing life application and to get it anchored into your life. So I can't even tell you how excited I am. And listen, if you're listening to this today, it's October 2nd. We started yesterday. You can join the course right now.
That is what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Just, I have every intention. And then I got sick. And yeah, it's kind of through the been working.
Yeah.
But just other extra things that you push on with, I just had to put aside to keep.
You got to rest.
Yes, exactly.
So there'll be a rester. To have, you know, five chapters to catch up on. So you have some reading to do, but you're not, you know, really just was an entry. I also have the video. So if you join today or tomorrow, I can send the first video to you. Okay. And then you can start with us next week. We're doing Thursdays in October at noon. So 12 to 1, I do a teaching, a live teaching, and then I record it so you can have the playback. Then along the week, I'm going to give you inspirational calls. I'm going to send a short video. I'm going to give you an exercise. So you have some things to do. So it's kind of a crash course. It's not a deep dive, but it's impactful. And we'll just do it for the month of October.
So please share, and we'll put it in the text, mm-hmm. of how you, where a person would go and sign up for the course.
And let me tell you, it's livewithamy.com/course.
Okay.
livewithamy.com/course. And you can get yourself registered. You can order your book. I'll send you the chapters that you need via email to get started until the book comes in. And join us. Do not wait. I mean, you can have the end of October can come and you can have movement in dead spaces. Don't wait. Get yourself unstuck and moving towards your destiny.
Don't wait. You know, you said something very key about faith and about the foundation, because again, we all need foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And tools. And so this is such a great way to, even if you don't go into the deep dive, this gives you that foundation.
Completely.
Of understanding a person who has been challenged with many things, but we all have challenges. And that's the other piece to unique leaders. We all have challenges. Mm-hmm. If you think you don't, if you think that other people don't, you're sadly mistaken.
Yeah.
It is everyone. And it's back to perspective. You know, it's that your perspective on things.
I ran a similar ministry before I formed my 501c3. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, other than my experience and freedom that I gained in life, was that I had this opportunity over a couple of years to hear hundreds of stories from women that were bearing their soul to me. And I was blown away with what people carry, what people go through. You cannot imagine. You only see the highlight reel.
That's right.
It is a mirage. There, you know, and so I was like, I have to do this. I have a secret that I cannot keep. When I realized that, regardless of I was one of them, you know, back then, however it looks on the outside, you never know what's going on the inside. We all look, if you're living this life, you are either in a challenge or you're heading towards one.
Amen. Amen. So have you ever read 3 Feet from Gold?
No, but I just know the story. I have not read the book, but Jan told me, our friend told me the story, and I mention it in my book because I loved the story. It was incredible.
So I always end, my friend. Well, before we go here, let me ask you this. We've talked about, you know, the book coming out and how you just said, and I can't wait to read it. And I, you know, was going to order it and then I got sick. And then, so I just placed the order the other day. So that's great that you're, you know, ascending the chapters along.
Yeah.
But let's tie that into a closure before I do ask you something about from 3 Feet from Gold.
Okay.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with our, you know, our guests that before we go into the close?
I want to share this, that you can have your next level life, whether that is career, relationships, faith, regardless of what's going on in your life, regardless of what's happened to you, regardless of how you feel, I'm just telling you to have hope. You can have it. It can happen. There are some steps that need to be taken. Some resourcing may need to be done. I just want everybody listening that's struggling to know that, you know, your life is not over. This is not how it's going to end. This is not the way it has to be. That hope is a choice. And if you get up tomorrow and you choose hope, you're going to get to your next level of life. I guarantee it.
Amen. Amen. So back to 3 feet from gold.
Mm-hmm.
I close Unique Leaders with this same question each week because when I read 3 feet from gold, and it truly ties into what we're speaking about today. But, you know, Jan shared, our dear friend Jan Gus Gibson shared this story written by Sharon Lecter and Greg Reed. And it's fiction, but it is a story that on some level carries to Greg's life, and he shares that. And he brought the manuscript through the Napoleon Hill Foundation to Sharon Lecter, and she helped him with insight and perspective to help him pull it together, so to speak, the book. But the thread of it, the story, the fiction portion of the story, is a gentleman from the East Coast during the gold rush days went out west and he bought a vein, so to speak, and started chipping away at it. And the locals kind of were laughing at him, and regardless was continue to work at it. And then he gave up. He literally said, this is ridiculous. This is, you know, fool's rush in, so to speak. And he ended up selling it to a local who knew the mountains well, knew the area well, and knew that he had done most all of the work, bought it for nothing,
right,
and got into the vein again, continued, and 3 feet from gold. So it is so emblematic to so many things that we've done in our life, that you have this goal, you have this dream, and you give up hope, as you said. Hope to me is the fuel to possibilities. But you have to continue going. You cannot stop.
Right.
But in the book, Sharon has put together what she calls this her success formula. And it's passion plus talent times association times action plus faith equals success.
Yes. Perfect. It's perfect. That's exactly right.
So I'm not asking you, Amy, to share, you know, but we've covered a lot of that.
Yeah.
I ask everyone, what is your passion and what is your talent?
My passion is speaking into people's lives. I mean, that's my passion, is to speak into your life and see effectual change. I'm obsessed with seeing the fruit of that. And I don't want to do it if I'm not seeing the fruit. And so there's a method behind the madness, right? I want to pour in and see that change out of the lives I'm serving. That's my passion. Okay, my talent, that's hard. I always say my superpower is resilience. Is that a talent?
I think so. I think that's...
I mean, you know, I'm resilient. I am a bounce back ability bunny. I don't know. I just, you know, I don't know if that's just innate. That's a talent that God gave me, maybe.
We can start a whole new little thread to this with that, because, you know, that's a very good point, because one dynamic, for instance, my passion is creating, but that could be, but that word encompasses so much, you know, that's not just decorating my home.
Yeah.
Creating a life worth living, enriching, you know, I mean, but if I'm not creating, I couldn't breathe.
Yes. And if I'm not imparting, I would, you know, I'm sunk. I feel dead inside. I'm alive when I'm like today. I feel so alive right now because I can share and I can impart into people's lives. So that is certainly my passion.
But the same thing with resiliency. Resiliency is your talent, but there's threats to that. You know, resilient on being the best mother you could be during circumstances. Holy crow. I mean, that there's so many pieces to that word resilient that, you know, then you go off into family and motherhood and that, you know what I mean? So it's just, it encompasses you though. I couldn't agree more. Well, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Just as I just said, I'm so grateful to be here and just serve and help and share my story.
Yes. And I hope that, you know, and we will continue to share, as we do with everyone's unique leader, out with different groups and different folks that I know that this story, your story, Amy, will truly help and resonate with. But please just know that I truly thank you for being so transparent and sharing, because it is the success. And that word, again, is quotation marks around it, you know, is in the story, because we could gloss over, right?
Right.
We're marketers. We could gloss over it.
Yep.
But and spin it, you know, but it is, there's not going to help anyone on any level.
No.
If we do that. So
no.
None. Well, thank you again, my love.
Thank you, Megan. Thank you so much. God bless.
You as well, dear.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Wow, folks. You know, every time I do this show, I learn not just about the individual. I learn nuggets, as I shared earlier in the introduction. I've known Amy for many years, from the late 2000s. But I learn details of that spirit of that person, and truly hope that you took away Amy's spirit of never the resiliency and that desire to really reach people and help them through their own challenges. And so thank you, Amy, for being with us today. And if you could, this would bless Amy and Unique Leaders so, so much. If you would share this out to your friends and your Facebook family, that not just people that need it, because as Facebook works, one person leads to the next person. So if you could share this out, we truly would appreciate it. And again, I, as Amy is in a journey, you know, I'm in a journey. I'm working towards building a new brand, so to speak. I sold my business in June, the brick and mortar spa. The clinical Novitas Spa clinical products live on, and you can receive, purchase those rather on our website, novitasspa.com. But I truly, like Amy, would like to help people with their businesses. I'm starting to do consulting. So if you would have any interest in that, do go over to megandemartino.com, is my new business Facebook page, and send me a friend request, and let's chat, let's talk. And also on that page, I've put the book Hope and Possibilities. We spoke a lot about that today, but Hope and Possibilities, just over the horizon. It's never too early or too late to create the life of your dreams. And as Amy is sharing about the tools to work through challenges that are very, very serious challenges, but not, maybe not as being, you know, a paralytic versus, not versus, but with other addictions and other situations. But we all have challenges. And so it's Hope and Possibilities, just over the horizon. It's never too early or too late to create the life of your dreams. And I, during the lockdown, I put it on both Novitas Spa site as well as this Megan DeMartino site at no charge. It is on Amazon. It hit number one on January 4th, which was my mother's birthday. So it's always, will always be special to me. But it is no charge. It's a PDF. You can download it. And I would love you to enjoy it, because it regardless of Hope and Possibilities, it's a snapshot of a New York girl during the 50s, 60s, and on. And it's a time capsule also of many things. And so before we leave, Elizabeth, I'd just like to say hello to some folks that might have been with us today. Thank you for joining us. And Ronald, hello. Ronald Coming and Robert Cadosi and Randy Hall and Tony Sanchez, Lisa Copeland, I don't know if you're still on, but thank you for joining us. And Jerry Acuff and Melissa Peterson and Mitch Dalton and Ronnie Zapata and Rich Hernandez. Thank you guys for joining us, Amy and I, today. And I hope you enjoyed Amy Mills' story. And it is a very special story of hope and possibilities and her next level. I mean, it is just her book, Sold Out. And attain your next level life. So do go to Amazon and purchase that. But do join her mini course that is going to be again next Thursday. Happy weekend. Have a blessed weekend. And we will see you on Monday for Motivation Monday. Thank you for listening to the Unique Leaders Podcast. If we said something today that resonated with you, please connect with me at megandemartino.com. I have a free gift for you, my book, Hope and Possibilities Just Over the Horizon. It's never too early or too late to create the life of your dreams. And don't forget to head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. I would truly appreciate it. Be blessed.